had one of those sleepless nights last night. Working on this message at about 3:30. There's a responsibility in feeding a congregation. And it's not just opinions or ideas or thoughts or entertainment. It's what do we need?
Amen.
What do we really need? I rarely put a title on my messages, but the title this morning is, Why Come to Church? Why are you here? You've been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. You've heard hundreds of messages, if not thousands of messages. So why come to church? It's not about rules. It's about relationships. And if you don't maintain a relationship, well, it just dissipates. You don't keep in contact with people, then the relationship ends. So if you look at Exodus, the 30th chapter, starting in verse number 7, and Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning. When he dresseth the lamps, he shall burn incense upon it. And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at even, or in the evening, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generation. Aaron was a high priest. God said there are certain things you need to do, not only for yourself, but for the people. Each and every one of us are high priest. You realize that. And then Luke chapter 1. And verse number 9. According to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. This is your responsibility. When you go into the temple, you've got to burn incense.
Amen.
Aaron's sons, they took this very lightly, brought strange fire. Didn't do it the way God wanted them to do it, and both of them were struck dead. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of the incense. Hallelujah. Lord, we ask your blessing, anointing upon your word. It's so precious. Not only that we have it in our hands, but God, you've given us insight and understanding to the value of it. And we ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So the priests were to burn incense every time they went into the temple or every time we come into the church. According to Exodus 30, it was to be burned every morning and every night. It says a perpetual incense before the Lord. It wasn't just a ritual that the priest did to fulfill their office or their obligation. It's so easy to slip into the ritual of religion and not the relationship, but it was a protection for all of the people, knowing that there was incense going up before the Lord. God's hand of protection and his ear were open to all of their problems and all of their troubles because of the incense that was burned in the temple. Church, each of us are high priests. And whether you've got trouble in your life right now, I'll guarantee at one point in your life you're going to have trouble. You need to have the solution. You need to have the formula of how to get out of that trouble. Take a look at 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. Second Chronicles 20, starting in verse number 1. And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them others besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. It's not a good day. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria, and behold, they, the Hazonites, and Engedi." And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all of the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, "O Lord God of our fathers, art thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all of the kingdoms of the heathens? And in thee, in thine hand, is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before the people of Israel and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? And they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil cometh upon us as the sword, judgment or pestilence, famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given to us to inherit. O our God, will thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee." And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. There are some problems we just don't have any answers to. There are some sicknesses, some situations. There are miracles in the happening in this room this morning. And we're saying, God, you have the power to take care of all of these situations in our life. We stand here with our wives and our husbands and our little ones, and we're saying, God, you know where we are and what's coming against us. Verse 15 says, "And he said, Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you. Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle..."
Yes. Glory to God.
It's not yours, but God's. "Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle." Did you hear that? You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand you still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah, O praise, and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites and the children of Korathites and the children of Korhites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." And when they began to sing and to praise, and when they began to sing and to praise, and when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Glory to God. So here we see that God's people find themselves in trouble. Oh, how often do we find ourselves in trouble? The armies of the enemies are planning an attack, so they gather themselves together to ask God for help. The man of God first stood in the midst of the congregation to assure the people that the Lord has power and might. To declare the power and might of Almighty God, Jehoshaphat said, "God, you are the one who drove out the inhabitants of the land, and here we built a sanctuary for your name." Can I list the trouble that we've gone through in order to build a sanctuary for his name? Next week, I'll be pastoring for 33 years and 3 building projects. Contractors and problems and banks and, oh Lord. Anybody here have trouble this morning? Yeah, probably all of us. So how do you like the approach so far? You see, this whole chapter is a formula for the approach to God in a time of trouble. Verse 9 said it, "And if, when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, the judgment, the pestilence, or famine, we stand before the house and in the presence," run to the house. Run to the house of God in your trouble. Don't run away. Don't try to get counsel someplace else, you see. "For thy name is in the house, and cry unto thee in our affliction. Then thou wilt hear, and then God will help." In our affliction, do we run to the house of God? Do we run to the presence of God? Because that's the formula. Jehoshaphat said, "They are coming to take our possessions that you gave us." Hallelujah. I don't know if you understand how much God has given us, our families, our jobs, the peace and the joy that is beyond understanding. This world doesn't have any clue as to what we have, the value that we have, salvation. For we have no might, neither know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Verse 13 said, and all of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, with their wives, and with their children. That's where they belong, in the church. Total unity and confidence in the great God who saved them long ago and put them in this beautiful land. Put them in the church. God then responded to tell them, you shall not need to fight in this battle. Don't worry about it. Don't sharpen your swords. Set yourself, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord. Fear not, nor be dismayed tomorrow. Go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Amen. Now, all of what was done was God's formula for victory. However, the most important aspect was not yet enacted. They responded, they stood still, they realized that God's going to fight the battle for them. It was after Jehoshaphat appointed singers that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Verse 22 said, and when they began to sing and to praise the Lord set ambushes against the enemy, and they were smitten.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. This mouth is key to our victory.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. It's not a matter of just standing there. It's not a matter of just coming to the temple. It's not a matter of observing how the incense is going up before God, but somebody's got to sing. Somebody's got to worship, you see. We have no concept of what worship does to give us victory. We don't. And we major in worship in this church, and I believe it has probably 98% success, or the reason for our success. I hope God shocks us this morning with what he is about to do because of our worship. Things happen in the spirit when we praise and we worship God. We release angels to do battle for us. And when they begin to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the enemy. When we praise God, especially when we have no answer, especially when we're in trouble, when we get the diagnosis, when we still praise God, when we do that, I promise you, it starts a spiritual activity that will finish, and God will set ambushes in order to take the problem, the situation that you can't handle in the first place. They're coming from all sides. I just don't understand it. I've been living for God for a whole lot of years, but they're coming from the right. They're coming from the left. They're saying things that aren't right. Never had any problems like this before. Anyone in trouble this morning? Would you stand with me? Would you praise God for a little while? Would you worship God for a little while? Oh, thank you, God. God, for your word, Lord, that you're in charge of all my situations, oh God. Take this trouble, God. Get rid of our enemies, oh God. We're standing still. We know that you can do it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Jesus. Lord, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ambushes are being set right now. Glory to God. Expect the victory. Not in a year from now, not in 2 years from now, but today you can have the victory. Jesus, Jesus. Glory to God. Amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. I believe that God's house is a spiritual stock exchange. We trade our worship for answers and supplies and defense. God provides for us when we give him what he wants. Psalm 22 and 3 says, but thou art holy, thou that inhabiteth the praises of Israel. The word inhabit in the Hebrew means to dwell and to set ambushes against our enemies. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Bless God. Bless God. Is it important to come to church? Daniel was thrown into a lion's den. The king didn't want to do that. But in the morning he said, Daniel, has your God preserved your life? He said, my God shut the mouth of the lions. Who can shut the mouth of the lions? Oh, but they said something against me. Who can shut the mouths of those who are our adversaries? The church, the corporate body of believers that honor God with praise and worship, will always be rewarded with his presence, his salvation, his healing, his defense, his revival. You see, I can't exist without a fresh renewing of God's Spirit in me. I have to have it. I have to have it. Amen. Glory to God. Please, if you can, would you be seated just for a few minutes? You've heard this said all the time that when the armies went out to do battle, they put the singers up front. It somehow scares the enemy when people come singing and worshiping about what God is going to do. I'm not a threat, but I'm telling you, God is a threat to our enemies. And while we don't all come up to the altar during song service, but I'm thankful for those who are up front worshiping God. It says something to our visitors, you know, that this is important. You see, God is looking for worshipers up front, and that seemed to be the natural thing in our life to do. It's just a natural derivative of being filled with God's Spirit. God's always ready for a trade on his stock exchange. Praise for healing, praise for salvation, praise for provision, praise for joy, praise for revival. Here's praise, I get it. Here's praise, God is going to heal me, you see. God will neither stay in a prayerless house, and he won't stay in a prayerless person. Glory to God. He demands it. It's the only thing he really asked us to give him. Amen. Turn to Genesis, the 28th chapter. Genesis 28, starting in verse number 10. Again, a familiar scripture. Verse 10, and Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones that of that place and put them for his pillow and lay down in that place to sleep. He's in trouble. He's running from his brother who wants to kill him because of his birthright. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. I want you to get that picture. There's this ladder that is extending all the way up to heaven, and there are angels that are coming and angels that are going. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all of the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Those are words to each and every one of us. And Jacob awakened out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. You can't get to heaven unless you get to the house. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillow and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of the city was called Luz at the first. The word Bethel means house of God. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will keep me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace. Then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. God's house is a pillar. And of all that thou give me, I surely give the tenth unto thee. There are two purposes for the house of God. It is a meeting place where God meets us and manifests his presence to us. He makes himself available to us in the house of the Lord. And it is a place of communication with God, where we speak to God and God speaks to us. It's the place where we communicate with God and God communicates with us. We have the gifts of the Spirit in operation in the house of the Lord. It's not supposed to be a monologue, but a dialogue between us and God. There should be interaction with us and God. The first place that was called Bethel, meaning the house of God, was recorded in that Genesis 28 and 19. Verse number 17 said, "This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate to heaven." Some people believe that they can get to heaven without the church. It's not going to happen. It isn't. We need each other. We need the gifts of the Spirit in operation. That isn't given to an individual, but it's given to the body of believers. That means that healing is within the body of believers, and miracles are in the body of the believers. Yet the scripture tells us that the house of God is the gate to heaven. There is a law in the Bible called the law of first mention. This is the first place this phrase, the house of God, is used in the Bible, where God spoke to man and man then spoke to God. The first place in the Bible, it was the gate to heaven, a place where another world opens for transportation to a place to and from. This is where the communion goes, from to and from heaven. This is clearly illustrated in verse number 12. It says, "And behold, a ladder set up on earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascended and descended on it." So I want you to get the picture. I came here early this morning looking for a ladder. I was going to put a big ladder up here so you had a visual of what God is doing. In the church, there is a ladder, a provision for us to be transported to heaven and for heaven to be transported down to us. Every time we come to the house of God, whether for church services or for prayer meetings or quizzing or ladies' meetings or orchestra, there is a ladder set up from earth to heaven, and angels are ascending and descending, whether we see it or not. Something is happening. There's a transport. Beam me up, Jesus. There's no intelligent life down here, that's for sure. There is this portal or access to heaven and all its power and provision from the house of God. Not your house, from the house of God. Why didn't God just say, "Hey, just buy or build a real nice place and just stay in it and worship me"? Because that's not the design of God. It's not the gate to heaven. It's not the runway. Spiritual beings from another world are moving up and down from a hole in the sky. Glory to God. Take a look at Hebrews, the first chapter. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 13, it says, "But to which of the angels said he at any time, 'Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool'? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" So there are angels that have the position to minister to us, the heirs of salvation. Now let's take it to the New Testament. Where were angels descending and ascending? Answer, at the birth of Jesus, at the ascension, at the Mount of Olives, when he went up, he came down, he went up. Jesus is the fulfillment of Jacob's ladder. He is the gate to heaven. Jesus said in John 10 and 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He's the ladder by which we are able to get to heaven. But the ladder is extended into the church. And that's why it says in 1 Timothy 2 and 5, there is one God and one mediator. And the word mediator means ladder or go-between. Between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Now listen, it wasn't Jacob's ladder. He didn't buy it. He didn't build it. It was God's ladder. We can't build a tower to reach God. We can't build a song service to reach God. We can't build a program to reach God. It's got to be God extending to us those provisions, you see. Without the ladder, we have no access to heaven. We don't have access to resources. Now, this building isn't a ladder. Our talents are not a ladder. Our ministries are not a ladder. It's God's ladder, and he has a right to flow through us. I have a huge extension ladder inside of me. Each of us have an extension that we can reach up to heaven and pull down resources and power. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, you see. You have that ability to reach up and touch that which other people do not have, because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Faster than a speeding bullet, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. Why? Because of the power that we have within us. If you'll just get this picture this morning of angels ascending and descending at the command of Jesus, in the house of Jesus, Bethel. Many years ago, and I've said this on a number of occasions, a message came in tongues and interpretation that said, my angels were created to worship me, but when you worship, it frees angels to minister to you and take care of your problems. And after that message came in, all of a sudden, there were all kinds of people who had visions within the congregation of people who were worshiping God, and hands were on their back praying for their sicknesses, praying for their problems, because we're taking the place of an angel, and then the angel is freed up in order to minister. We live so far below our privilege, folks. Glory to God. Our last scripture, if you'll stand with me. Psalms 91, starting in verse number 9. It's because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. The mediator. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and I'll honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Hallelujah. Because he has set his love upon me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. Simple words. I love you, Jesus. I've had some problems in my life. I love you, Jesus. And I'll continue to worship you. I will continue to praise you, God. And as I do, you will set up ambushes and you will take care of me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Something is happening in this service this morning, and you need to take advantage of it. Maybe it's a long time since you've just even raised your hands and worshiped him. Maybe it's a long time before you've come to an altar. But this morning, I believe there's healing in here. I believe that God can take care of your trouble. Why don't you come?